Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's virtual Old Timers Day on The Fan. On the original Yankees schedule, the one that played 162 games, today was going to be Old Timers Day. One of my favorite days of the year on the field with Susan Waldman doing shows and talking to everybody in uniform coming back. So we decided to do this. Obviously, it's not happening this year. First time since 1946, there is no Yankees Old Timers Day. So we're doing it on the radio. And we're starting by heading over to the manager's office at Citi Field for the 8-time All-Star, 9-time Gold Glove winner, in the 1985 American League MVP, Don Mattingly, kind enough to join us just a couple hours before his game. Donnie, how you doing today?
Good, Sweeney. How are you doing? I was interested to hear that Old Timers Day thing, and you put me in that category, so that's good. I feel old anyway today.
Well, I think you only made a couple of appearances while you were coaching, right? You didn't come back for any other than those. Is that true?
I came back. I think I took a couple off. Just kind of wanted to hang, you know, kind of stay away for a little bit. And then I started coming back and then started coaching. And then,
right.
Going to L.A. and managing and all that. So then you can't just leave for those.
Well, no kidding. Well, I think we'd all understand why you weren't here this year if it was being held. Donnie, I think in a normal year, if the Marlins started 7-2 and it was, you know, April 10th or whatever it was, we'd say, wow, how is this happening? This is anything but normal. How is this happening?
Well, it's just, you know, I think it's not really, honestly, to us, I don't feel like it's a total surprise. I know in the baseball world, when you look at, we won 50-something games last year, and you look at it like, oh, there's no way you turn that around. But I think what we were able to do in the offseason, I thought the front office did a good job. We needed some bats. We brought in 4 quality at-bats, and really 5 with Cervelli and Matt Joyce and Jesus Aguilar, VR, Corey Dickerson, and then throwing that in with Anderson and Rojas and those guys. So there was a confidence in spring training. You've been feeling it in ours, you know, with internally, we see the talent that's coming. We knew our starting pitching was going to be good. But that's when, before all the COVID stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've been hit pretty good, but our guys are hanging in, and I think they believe in themselves. That we're going to get some people back and that we're willing to compete every day. And we're in a pennant race, and you can win a game every day. And that's just kind of the way we look at it.
Yeah, do you have any idea when you're going to start to get guys back? I mean, all the players that were sent back home and in quarantine, do you have any idea are they trickling back in, anything like that?
We really don't. Obviously, this thing is, it's like, you know, you don't really know the timeline with this. It's, you know, you're waiting on testing and all that kind of thing. We know when we get back, we'll be on the road for 21 days. Hmm. We don't get back till the 13th, and we're going to be at almost 20 days with some of our guys, a lot of our guys. So we're getting close to getting guys back, but then you got to get them ready again. So you're not quite sure of the timeline.
Donnie, whether it's as a manager or as a coach, your job is to put players in positions to succeed. How much harder is that when you've got this influx of players that you don't have a great deal of history with and know a lot about in a short period of time, and getting them to the point where you reel off 6 wins in a row?
Yeah, obviously it's a little different, and it's really more almost like an internal trust, right? You haven't seen the guy. You don't know how he's going to handle the situation. But I think the one thing we do have nowadays is just the vast amount of analytics and video, so you kind of know a guy through his numbers. And you see how he's handled righties and lefties, and then your analytics department's putting you a package together of, you know, with whatever your system is. You got a number on a guy, and it's either good or bad against this part of the lineup. And that's really what you start off with. And then you get to know your guys. But that's what we've been trying to do, just try to put them in situations that match up good.
We're talking to the manager of the Miami Marlins, Don Mattingly, the first place Miami Marlins at 7-2. You were telling me a couple of years ago, I remember, I think when we saw you in spring training, Brian Anderson was the guy that you said was going to be a really good player. Is he starting to reach the potential you saw in him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this guy, he's went from the point of, like, you see that he's going to be, he's got a chance to be good. He's got a good swing. He uses, just the attributes. He uses the whole field. He's got a pretty good eye. He's not a big chase guy. So that just tells you that he's going to hit. But he has to believe that. And I think that's where we're at now with him. I think he's driven in 9 runs already this year, getting big hits for us. But it's more of a confidence thing for me because he's really competitive. And when young guys come up, they say, yeah, I think I can play there. But then there becomes a point where they know they can play. And I think that's where Brian's at. He knows he's good. And he knows, he's got to, obviously, we got to keep working. But he's at a point where he knows he can play here. And that's a big step for a player.
You mentioned Francisco Cervelli a minute ago. He kind of qualifies as old-timer. He's one of the last active members of the 2009 World Champion Yankees. How important has he been, especially, losing players, including your starting catcher, and his veteran presence? How important has he been in what's been going on over the course of this last week?
No, Cervelli's been great. He's been great in a couple of different ways. He loves to play, which I love. A guy that has energy, no matter how old he is, he loves being out there and competing. And that's just infectious for our club. He did a great job with our pitching staff. He's got that ability to bring stuff out of guys, and he has that energy, and he emphasizes things with the young pitchers, and they trust him. There's a lot of Yadier Molina in him. When I had Yadi in Japan, you just see it. Pitchers just trust him, and they put the finger down, and they go with it. So that's a huge thing. So Servi's been great for us and doing a great job.
And it ain't easy today facing Jacob DeGrom, is it?
No, that's one of those things, right? It's like, hey, buckle up, let's go get the hard hats out, and we got to go to war, right? Today is one of those days you battle, and this is the kind of day that you count on your starting pitcher. Pablo Lopez today is probably our best guy we have right now because of everybody out, and he's got to go throw zeros because Jacob's not going to go out there and give up a bunch of runs. You're going to have to wear him down. You're going to have to fight him. You're going to have to battle him. You're going to beat him 3-2. So our pitcher is going to be important today. He's got to keep us in the game, and then we got to, make Jake fight for every out he gets.
Yeah, what's it like getting to throw a starting pitcher out for the second time this year? You've had 9 different ones so far.
I know. It's been different. It's been a different year. We've played 9 games, and I feel like we've played 90 to do this thing. And I feel like we still haven't played a home game, so we're 2 weeks into the season, so that's the way it is right now.
Yeah, at some point you're going to get to bat last. Well, I think you did that once already.
We did in Baltimore, right? We're the home team.
Listen, whenever the next time is you make it back to an old-timers day, this is something that will be played on the board. I want to hear your reaction to what you felt in the moment that this happened. This is game 2 of the 1995 Division Series against the Mariners.
Mattingly swings, and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Back to back. Nina belly to belly. Don Mattingly homers in the right center field area. And the Yankees take a 3-2 lead.
What do you remember about that moment, Donnie?
Oh, that's vivid in there, and for a number of reasons, right? I was struggling early in the year, and Andy Bennis is the pitcher, and he's from my hometown in Evansville, so I know Andy and kind of talked to him through his career. But he got me out in Seattle, and I wasn't swinging good, and I thought, man, this guy's going to get – I'm going to hit this guy hard. If I'm swinging the bat good, he's in trouble. And so that was my main thought with him. Also, obviously, just being in the playoffs, I had a good feel for what he wanted to do to me. I got to hit the first time up on a first pitch, and so then the second time up, I know he ends up walking me thinking I'm going to be aggressive, and then I know he wants to get me with a changeup, and I hit a changeup, and he finally got one over the plate. And so it was a great feeling, obviously, that series was a great series, except the way it ended.
Yeah.
but, there was a lot there, first time in the playoffs, being in New York and trying to put, you know, go up 2-0 in that game, and then a little hometown, you know, battle right there too with Andy. It was fun.
When people talk about the loudest moments they remember or heard in old Yankee Stadium, that one usually comes to mind. I mean, have you ever heard your own building louder than that one?
You know, it's hard to compare, you know, the level of loudness, right? But that was an exciting moment, and it was loud. And I just remember, you know, what I remember about that playoff swing is, you know, first time in and coming out of the dugout to run before game one. And the place, I mean, it felt like there was electricity in the air. And, I mean, I'm running, and I actually felt fast. And that's how good it was there. So.
That 2-3 felt pretty light on your back, huh?
It really did. Oh, my goodness. I felt like Ricky Henderson running across the outfield.
Donnie, I got one last one for you. I know you got to run because you got a game going. You know, you've been managing now for 10 years. So, and you're managing players who are pretty young. A lot of them never saw you play. Some of them might not even remember what your career was like. I mean, do you find yourself in certain moments kind of, you know, chuckling as they kind of, you know, maybe start realizing what kind of a player you were and what you accomplished? Or, you know, you find little subtle ways to remind them? How does that go?
No, I don't try to remind them. They don't care, honestly. You know, they're worried about their career. And I think that's the thing as a coach. You always worry about the players, and your career's over. They look you up, though. They'll Google you when I start talking about hitting or something, and, you know, they may give you a look like you don't know what you're talking about. But they end up looking you up, and they're like, dude, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, for me, I love the guys because I feel like I'm right in touch with them. I mean, I got kids that are in their 30s. I've got college kids from my second marriage, you know, in the house. I got a 5-year-old at home. So, I mean, I still relate to these dudes, right? I'm going through all the same stuff they're going through. And so I feel young. I feel great. And, you know, it's been fun to be around them.
Donnie, thanks for giving us a couple minutes on game day and kicking off what, you know, what would have been an old-timers day for us. I wanted to figure out how to make it happen, and you're a great way to get it started. And, you know, one of these days someone will get closer again to those 8 games in a row, and I'll be bugging you again. Thank you so much for all the time, always.
All right, Sweeney, I'll talk to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.